Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Father, help me and make my lips like that of a ready writer, oh God, that even as I speak your word, Father, let it come with light, understanding, let lives be changed, that none of us, including myself, will leave this place the same way we came in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every plan of the enemy concerning our lives today. We come against every spirit of distraction. We destroy you in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost, take your place here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, where do we start from today? All right, today, when Pastor told me I was going to share some weeks ago, and I just had a topic that just came into my head, and I wrote it down. And when it was time for me to start putting it together, I'm like, what should I put in there? You know, just different thoughts today. But what I just want to do today is just to build on what Pastor has been sharing over the last couple of weeks and what book he shared last week. We hear God's word most of the time, and you know, we are so blessed that the kind of word we receive in this place is not the kind of word you get in other places. I've been to other places, and the kind of word you get are quite shallow, you know. But we should appreciate, you know, the kind of pastor and the kind of leaders you've got in this house that helps us to grow. But it goes beyond that. The pastor could share the whole scripture. The Holy Ghost could just come down, even lay his hands on you, and you step out of this place and you still remain the same. Amen? So it goes beyond what we hear, you know. We thank God for that. And so the title of my message today is just do it. Amen? Just do it. How many of you have heard that slogan before? What slogan is that? Nike. Amen. That's Nike. And I remember I've had a Nike shoe before, and I've had this Nike top before. And, you know, with that tick, you know, that mark. And when I wear it, you know, when I was in uni, I was in high school, then, I used to feel cool then, you know. Because it wasn't that cheap then, you know. You wear it and, like, just do it. And everyone would start telling you, oh, where did you get it from? And I remember my sister used to travel, and I said, oh, my sister got it for me. So I used to feel cool then. Amen. But it goes beyond, you know, just the world and say, just do it. You could write all the just do it on your head, on your forehead, on your shoes. Even for students, you could write it on your book, just do it. At the end of your day, it doesn't mean you're going to do anything. Amen. But today, like I said, we just need to start doing things. And when I was reading, you know, about Nike, and I was just like, well, how did that slogan come about? And I read that the slogan was coined in 1988, you know, at the advertising meeting. And that was when that word came. And since that 1988, you know, they've had the ups and downs. But if you've noticed, Nike has been a formidable player when it comes to the sport industry. Just because of that slogan. Amen. And that's why you find that at times at the beginning of the year, you know, pastor will say, this is our year of fruit bearing. This is our year of this. The whole idea is, doesn't mean that other things wouldn't happen to you within the year, but it's to encourage us as Christians to be able to be focused on a certain thing. And if the business of Nike today, you know, has been very, very prosperous. Amen. But going beyond that, like I said, what are we talking about? Just do it, you know. Like I said earlier on, you know, when you want to do something, there are different processes, you know, when you're doing something. So if you find the cooks, you know, the people who cook, the chefs, when they want to cook, they have different preparations. Amen. They put it down, you know, probably they cut the onions. You know, for those of you who are very good cooks, you know, they cut the onions, the lettuce, whatever it is, you know, just put it, you know, they prepare everything down. And, you know, when you get to the restaurant, you'll be surprised. How come this food was ready within 10 minutes? Because they've already done the preparation down. And it's just so easy. You go in there and your food becomes ready. So when we say do it, there's a process and preparation involved. Amen? And most of us here, you know, like I said earlier, we've been, I wouldn't use the word lucky, we've been blessed that this preparation and the processes is what Pastor has been sharing, you know, over the past couple of weeks. And Pastor has been sharing on the title, Action Packed. And, you know, if you listen, he's been talking about the book of Acts. He's just been talking about different things, you know, over those topics, you know, and broke them down. And You know, you could go and say, wow, this, how was the message today? You could say, oh, this message was fantastic. How was it? It was caucastic, you know. You give all the good words and, you know, they ask you and you step out of there and that's the end. Amen? So today, the point of this message is to encourage us. Bucky was also sharing about harvest time. I was really blessed last week when he was talking about harvest time. And I was taking some points. And like I said, I'm going to talk about another area of that today. So it's all about building, you know, into that area. Let's open our Bible to the book of James 1:22. We'll try and read some scriptures today, so we'll try and be fast. James 1:22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Amen? He said, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgotteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. That's a message on its own. Amen. You know, it's so, like I said, you know, at times we step out of here, it's like, you know, you go in and you look at yourself and you look into the mirror and say, wow, Patrick is so handsome, you know I am, you know. And I tell myself how good I am, you know, I motivate myself for the day. And the next minute, and Vimbai comes to me and says, Patrick, how are you doing? Who are you? And earlier I just told myself I was very handsome. I'm like, who am I? Maybe I'll say, I'm Rhea or something like that. Isn't that confusion? You know, this is, you're there, you've seen yourself, and suddenly you are not telling yourself you're somebody else. It happens to us Christians. We do not know our rights in Christ. You know, we just come and we just see. We just forget what the word has been preached. You know, and I know, because I'm sharing this, I know what time it takes to prepare a message, and I know what time pastor takes. So imagine pastor comes and, you know, he asks you, how was it? And you told him a part of you. And the next week he asked you, you know, how would you feel? How do you think he's going to feel? Like he's wasted his time. Not wasting his time, you know, but the seed is there. But he wouldn't feel encouraged, you know. But he's going to feel encouraged when he sees there's a difference. Amen. And it's so exciting when we see people in church grow. Like our sister today, seeing her enjoy. It's awesome, you know. You feel, it's awesome, you know, when you see people not just come to church, you know, but being a part of church. You know, you feel encouraged that, you know, the work is being done. Amen. So, you know, this scripture itself, it is good, you know, and it's, the whole idea is, let's hear the word and let's do it. Practice the word. And that's the whole lesson. So what? Just do it. There could be different things that come your way that will ensure that you can't actually do this word. Fine, we're in a place whereby it's so busy, you know. Everything we do is so busy. We live a very busy life. So that time to actually get it done is hard. You know, it's like you working full time and studying. I remember when I was doing my master's and, you know, it was so difficult. Even still studying a little bit now, it's still very difficult. You know, I can see one of my sister here today, Nikki, we're talking about it. It is very hard when you're working full time and, you know, you want to give your time to studies. It is hard, very hard. But what do? You look at the end goal. The end goal is, well, if I get this, I'm going to get a better job. And that's the end goal. So if you look at the end goal, then to do it becomes easy. Easy, literally, as in, you know, I'm not saying easy, as in, but to do it becomes easy. So when the world comes, as Christians, we need to get to understand, why do we listen to God's word in the first place? Understand it. Do I come to church because Pastor Patrick, you know, will ask, why didn't I come to church? Will I come to church because it's a routine? You know, it's the understanding of the reason why you do a thing really, really matters. Amen. I come to church because I want to get blessed. You know, even if I don't sleep well in the night, I will still come to church. You know, personally, that's me. We're all different. It's something I built myself over and over, you know. And it happened even through my teenage years and in my uni days, you know, when, you know, some of us were leaders there. It's because it's a norm. No matter what happened, it's a norm. So going back to when we're saying studying, you know, you're studying you're studying in school because you want to achieve a goal. And, you know, if even by the time you get back from work, you're so tired and the assignment is due the next day, what would you do? You still have to do it all night. You still have to. Even if you ask, you know, we're in a place whereby you can actually ask for extension. You could ask for the extension and it gets to that day and you still can't do it. What do? You still have to do it. Why? Because you need to pass. You need to ensure that the money you've paid, you get a result for it. Amen. It's the same for us as Christians. You don't want to come to church and just waste your time and go back. At work, when I do, we do a workshop, and when I present, I tell them, well, yeah, I've got a beautiful accent, you know, I've got everything, you know, but I don't want a case whereby you come to this workshop and you leave the same way. Stop me and ask the question, you know. Ask me, and I will stop and explain to you, because you've come in here for this 2 hours workshop. I don't want you to leave the same way. It's the same thing as us Christians. We need to prepare our hearts and say, well, I'm coming to church. I'm not coming for anyone. I want to be blessed, and I want to see the result. Jesus, you know, you want to see this result. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Exodus. Then we'll go from there. Exodus chapter 3. So I've written some things about, you know, people in the Bible where God has asked them to do certain things, and they've actually done it. So we'll go through that example. And when I'm talking about these people in the Bible, you know, talking about God asking them to do things that are spiritual, it's still the same principle to our everyday life. Amen? It's the same principle. So you want to achieve something. You've got a goal in life. This is what I want to achieve. Okay? This, I want to get this house. I want to start my business. You know, I want to do this. It's the same principle. So it's the same principle that comes from the Bible that you actually use for the same thing. Amen? Exodus 3, verse 7. And it says here, and the Lord said, I have surely seen, the Lord here is speaking to Moses. He says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their task. Masters, for I know their sorrows. So God is saying, I know everything that is happening. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and to the Hittites and to the Amorites and to the Perizzites and the Hivites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Sorry, my mouth is dry somehow. Amen. So this was the Lord speaking to Moses. Telling Moses, this is what I want you to do. I've listened, you know, and we all know what happened, you know, to the people, to the children of Israelites there. It's like a normal Sunday school story. You know, they were there, you know, they were being oppressed. You know, they were being used, you know, if you've even watched the movies, it was very terrible. It's like us being in the land. It's like the slaves those days, you know, when the slaves were taken to America and others, so those kind of places, how they were being treated. This was how these Israelites were being treated. And these are the people God has called his own people. So imagine God's people being treated this way. Or imagine your child. It's like your child comes home and says, well, I'm being bullied. What would you do as a parent? The first thing is that the next day, you go to the school and you want to speak to the teacher. You want to know what's happening. It's the same way God felt in here. But God can't come from heaven and do it. He needs somebody to do the job. And in this place, he has found Moses to get the job done. He wants it to be done. And he's giving his instruction about how it's going to be done in all these places. So he called Moses. Let's go ahead there. And let's continue from, let's jump to Exodus 14. We're going to read a long scripture here. Exodus chapter 14. Let's start from verse 4. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So what happened here before then was, you know, when God has, you know, done several miracles, you know, those stories whereby, you know, God did different things just to show Pharaoh that he is God, you know, putting the rod down, he changed to snakes, you know, the locust, and, you know, just everything that God has just done to actually show Pharaoh that he was God. Of course, you know, at the same time, that Pharaoh was still very hardened. Despite each of those things, you know, he would bring his own magicians and everything, and he wants to actually perform the same miracles. And the same thing is still happening in this world today. We see our fake prophets, we have fake pastors, you know, we've got fake miracles, so that happens today. So whatever God wants to do, the devil can actually do the counterfeit of it. But it's not real. So one is real. So that happened during that place. At the end, I think mostly Pharaoh said, well, I think I've given up. I believe that this is a true God. So he told them, you know, you guys just go. Pack your things and leave. Just pack your things and just leave this land. And so then after he said all those things, then what happened here was, then the Lord said, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them and I will gain honor. Forgive me to pick my Bible here. I should have brought my glasses. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? We have let Israel go from serving us. So he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. Amen. Amen. Then let's jump to verse 8, and we'll read this quickly. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them, camping by the sea beside Phi Hanerot, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Let me bring out the point there, first of all. When the Lord has asked us to do certain things, and we are doing it, or you've got things in your heart that you really want to do, you know, it will look rosy at the beginning. You know, it will look very, very easy. And that's what happened here. When they told them to leave, they all went, you know, they took the chains, you know, they took all the jewelries, and they were all happy. They were moving. You know, it was easy, and they were going. And now, on their way through the journey of getting the job done, something happened. The enemy showed up again. And that happens to ourselves in our lives. The enemy just showed up. And guess what? That's where our complaint starts. They started complaining. And we do that as Christians too in this world. When things are not going our way at times, we're like, God, why me? Why me? You know, our tears wouldn't do anything, seriously. You could cry and cry and cry and cry. Your tears wouldn't do anything. You need to take action. Amen. So here you can see them, you know, they were all complaining and doing different things. And they were actually probably, say, cursing, you know, Moses. But when they took the jewelries and everything, they were actually thanking Moses. They were like, yeah, thank God. God is a real God. He is good. But verse 13 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? You remember he said something like that? He said, why do you cry to me? You know, You know, at that moment, when Moses was telling them, you know, that the Egyptians you see today, you see them no more, I can imagine him going already frustrated as a pastor, already frustrated as a father, already frustrated as a mother, that things are not happening the way he wants. You know, the belief for his children, what he wants the kids to be, it's not happening. His business, you know, the businesses were actually not going well, you know. You are seeking for a job and the job is not coming in at that moment. And, you know, you feel frustrated at that moment. But you know what I felt Moses said at that moment? Instead of Moses to actually feel down, but God, Moses just felt to himself, well, I didn't actually start this journey by myself. I was called to do this journey. And in his head, you know, I just see, imagine maybe Moses in this present time where we are. I just see Moses quoting God's scripture to himself and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. You know, I just see him start, you know, saying things to himself. He say, you know, saying things like, when the Son, he who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. You know, he just start quoting scriptures to just encourage himself. I can do it. God has said it. I will do it. Did God call me? I will do it. You know, Moses was just saying those scriptures, you know, everything he's learned in church. Everything the pastor has preached, he's saying it back to himself. Despite what he's saying, despite the opposition, Moses is saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. God has said it. I believe it. It is true. You know, he was just quoting those scriptures to himself. And God, like I said in verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. They've already stopped. They've already given up. They've given up, like, you know, in their mind, like, probably we're just going to die today. You know, whatever wants to happen, we will die. Because in front of them, there was no way. Behind them, there was no way. So they are stuck in between. So it's either one, two ways. We jump into the river and die, or we go back and we get slain. So what do we do? But you know one thing about God. If God has asked you to do anything, he will always make a way where there seems to be no way. That is why he is God. God is not moved by our circumstances. God is not moved by our situation. God is not moved by what we see. God is not moved by your pocket, what's in your pocket. God is not moved by your job. God is not moved whether they sack you or not. But what God has said is, the thoughts I have towards you are of good and not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end. So if God has set the future for you, he will make a way for that future. Amen, somebody. And that's when the Lord said to Moses, he said, why do you cry? Because crying will do nothing. Yes, it's good to cry. You know, it's good to cry. You know, cry to God and, you know, God, help me, help me, help me. But if you cry, you will still remain in the same place. Amen, somebody. As Christians, you know, should I use the word? Forgive me for using it. God is not moved by crying. You know, he's moved. You know, he sees you crying, but he's moved by your action. Are you following me? God is moved by your action. Until you take an action, until you do something, you wouldn't see any results. But if you take that action in faith, Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Bible says faith without works is dead. Amen? So you can say, God, I believe. Oh, pastor, you blessed me. Oh, I was blessed. I'm going to start doing something about it. Oh, I'm going to start coming to prayer meeting. You know, I've thought about what you said. I believe I've not just been, you know, been how would I say it? I've not been committed. So you say those things to yourself when the message is going on. And once you step out of there, you know, when it's time to come to prayer meeting, God, I'm so tired. You know, you came back from work very late. You know, the day has been so busy and you were tired. And to get yourself to come to the prayer meeting, let me just rest 5 minutes and you're gone. You're not doing it. You're looking at your physical body. You're looking at your situation. But instead of you to step out of faith and show the enemy that, well, I am going to surprise you. I'm going to do it. And you step out and you come to church and you pray. Or God has been laying it in your heart. Well, Patrick, stand up and pray. You know, there are sometimes God lays things in your heart, you know, when you're home. And I love my movies. I do love my movies a lot. And I watch lots of movies at times. But there are times where something will just get into my mind, like, you just need to pray. You know, at times you disobey. You know, we do that at times. But at times I just tell myself, well, I just put off the TV and I just do what God asked me to do. And guess what? By the time I go to bed, I feel relaxed. I just feel that it's, I don't know whether you guys know what I'm saying. You just feel that something has been done, you know? Even though you can't see it, But you just feel something has been done. And that's what Moses happened here. And he said, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Amen. You know, like I said, imagine him telling them to go forward. Let's continue. The point I wanted to bring out here is, in life, let's not stop. Let's not stop. Let's just keep on going. Let's keep on going. Verse 16 says, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow you. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and all his horsemen. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Hallelujah. One thing to point out there is, when you decide to go forward, when you decide to move ahead, there's always somebody with you. God will never leave you alone. He will never leave you alone. And the Bible talks about the angels were before them, also were behind them. God will never leave you alone. No matter how you think it's difficult, just imagine God being with you. It's like for mothers with babies, when the baby starts crying, what happens? Once you carry the baby and the baby looks into the mom's eyes or the dad's eyes, they feel like, you know, feeling off. It's possible. Or when the mom takes them, like, oh yeah, it's time for food, you know? And they know that the food is there for them too. It's the same thing. The faith the kids have in their parents is the same faith we need to have in Christ. Then verse 20, he said, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all down line, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them, and their right hand on their left. We all know the remaining story there. God did a miracle that has never been done today. You know, no matter how you watch some magic tricks on TV, and you wonder, how do these people do this? I don't think anybody will be able to do this. You know, like I said, there's a difference between real and fake. But then what then happened then was that then the Lord, in verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, like I said, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots. So when they actually went through and they went and the Egyptians said, well, okay, wow, I'm going to chase these people and I'm going to get them, I'm going to destroy them. And the same miracle Moses did, he did that in actually closing the Red Sea. And verse 30 says, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And the Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed. Amen. I just jumped. I wanted us to read all today, but I decided to jump them. I read all the scripture just to let you know that sometimes God speaks, but it seems there is no way. How many of you God has spoken to? You know, for me, myself, I remember there's lots of prophecies, you know, God has spoken, you know, upon my life, you know, and some have come to pass, and some of them are still wondering, why has this not come to pass? There are times pastor could call you and just speak a certain word to you, and 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you can't see the results. 4 years, 5 years, you can't see the result. I'm one of them. I haven't seen it. But do I still believe? Yes, I believe. Because Bible says God's word are yea and amen. You know, Bible says his God's word will not return to him void. But it will do what? Go and accomplish that which it has been sent or said. So at times, you know, so we feel that there's no way. And just like the people of the children of Israel. And at times, you know, going along the same way, you know, you start regretting at times. Why did I make this move? God could actually ask you to, you know, take a step of faith and do something unusual. It could be, you know, give. You know, giving something, you know, unusual. And you give that, and at times you can't No result. I've actually given certain things. And I'm like, yeah, I connect this. And guess what? It didn't come the way I wanted. But you know one thing I still believe? It's a seed. Like Bookie was talking about harvest time. It's a seed. The seed is there. The seed will grow and there will be harvest. It might not be now, but it will happen. You know, the way our timing is different from God's timing. And if you look into the book of Isaiah 55, 8 to 11, let's jump in there quickly and see. Just to be able to point some point. I know most of you know the scripture. Isaiah 55, verse 10. It said, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. For it shall go out with joy and be led forth," you know, "with peace." Basically, you know, like I said, you know, if God, you know, has said it, like I said earlier on, it will happen. You know, at times, you know, when it comes to the word, like I said earlier on, people are not very committed to the word of God. We are not. And, you know, as a church, as small as we are, this is a time for us to grow. When I was in my university days, those days, I would find some of the pastors, you know, who have led us, they would come back to us and they would tell us, well, take advantage of what you are learning now. Because when you step out of uni and get into the real world, it will be different. They tell you that the word you hear now will be what will sustain you in future. And that's true. We learned that when I was there. Most of us found out that when we had the time in there, we were able to study, you know, we do everything in there. And by the time we step out, we were faced with a different world. We were faced that some of us thought we were going to get jobs immediately. It didn't happen that way. You know, some of us felt, you know, things would just happen quickly. Like it didn't happen. And by the time it even happened, when we got a job, the time to even serve God wasn't as free as it was there. But guess what sustained most of us there? It was the word we had then that's sustaining us. Doesn't mean we won't continue with the word. You continue. Point I'm saying is that the word you hear today in this church, take hold of it. Because in the tough time, in the difficult time, when it's time for you to take action, when it's time for you to do what God has asked you to do, when it's time for you to do what you want to do, if there's no word to sustain you, you get stuck in between. Amen? That's why you find, you know, this business, people who start their business, they always ask them, what's your business plan? And they do a business plan and say, okay, this first stage is what we'll do. This is the second stage we'll do. And at times, you know, even for myself who, you know, as an, you know, accountant at times, there's something we always say, you know, contingents, you know. There's always a contingent plan in there. So at times, even when you have the whole budget and everything, and we do the whole forecast, we always leave something in there at times because we are preparing. It's the same thing for us as Christians. If the word is not there to sustain you when you dare to get it done, you get stuck. You can't even move forward. Amen? It's very, very important that we take hold of the word we hear here. You know, we take hold of the word. And how do you get to do some of those things in there? We'll run through some of these things, you know, quickly because of time. How can you do it? You tell yourself, Pastor has been saying it, but I've tried, I failed. You know, I come to church, but I really want to do more. I actually want to be committed. I want to be a part of a group, you know. I want to do something. You know, until you become a part of a family, you become involved. It's like a family, you know. Now, my kids are still very little, but now I can actually tell them to do things for me. I could just say, Bella, go and get that for me. I'll just sit down on the couch, and she's going to bring that for me. So she's doing things for me now, basically. It's the same thing for us, you know, as Christians. For us to do things, you need to have things around you to ensure that the dream you have or what God has told you will be done. You need people around you. You've got your pastor there for you. You need everyone around you. You know, what do you do in church? Our church cannot be a church without you. That's the truth. Our church cannot be a church without you. We need people involved. And being involved is not just by saying, I'm going to do it. We need you to say, I'm going to do it and step out of faith. You know, step out of faith. We need lots of people. Like they've been talking about, they need people in the kids' church. You can do that. You might say, oh, well, it's not my thing. Well, start with something. You know what I mean? It's when you get there, you feel, oh, maybe that's not for me. Then you try the ushering. If that's not for you, then you start with the prayer group. If that's not for you, you will start with something. And once you start, you'll find out what you're meant to do. God has a purpose for everyone. And that purpose needs to be done, not just by sitting down. So the first thing I've written in here for myself is, how do you achieve doing what God has asked you to do or what you want to do? The first thing I wrote is that you need to serve Him. You need to serve God. That's just the first principle. I won't tell you, you know, like in some thing, they will say, give this $1 and you get $50 in. No. The first principle is serve Him. All other things will follow. What's that scripture that says? It says, the scripture just escaped me. Scripture was talking about, you know, you know, that everything will follow what God, you know, once you start doing what God has says, you know, everything will follow. So like I said, the first thing is to serve Him. There are lots of scripture that talks about serving God in there. Deuteronomy 11:13. We'll run through that quickly. I'll open one verse for each of them. I'll give you the others to read on your own. Deuteronomy 11:13. It says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandment, which I command you to this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 24:15, you know, talks about more things there. Matthew 6:24 says the same thing. Serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the first principle. Once you serve God and God says, well, your heart is for me, then everything will follow. Bible talks about seek God and His righteousness. You know? Everything will follow Him. So the first thing is serve Him. And the question will be, some people, how can I serve Him? You know, I come to church. Is that not enough? No, it's not enough. You know? Serving God is all your heart, diligently. You need to give everything to Him. You know, and you know, what other ways can you serve Him? Number one is praise Him and give thanks. Always praising Him and giving Him thanks is one of the first ways you can serve God. If you open your book to the book of Psalm 34, Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hold on there. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 2. 5:18. In everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are other scriptures that talks about other things in there. But the first principle is, like I said, when you serve God, if you don't just serve God by coming, you need to serve God, you need to worship Him, you need to praise Him, you need to give Him thanks in everything. I was saying everything we should give God thanks. So the first thing is, like, that's when whenever we are praying, we always say, let's start by giving God thanks. Just worship Him. That's what we always start by. We always need to praise God and give Him thanks. Always, always. Then the second one, which I've also talked about, is you need to commit yourself to Him. Be committed. Be committed. How do you get committed to God? It's not just, you know, we talk about church. That's fine. But it also goes beyond that. Commitment means saying, God, I surrender myself to You. It's all about You, none of me. I always tell myself, God, so God, it's all about You and none of me. And when you tell God, God, it's all about You, none of me, you give Him the opportunity to step into you. And once He steps into you, it's easier for you to achieve what He's asked you to do because He speaks to you daily. But when you don't commit yourself to Him and God says, well, Patrick, I want you to go and share to that man. And you get there, you get stuck because you actually don't know what you want to say to him. But if you've committed yourself to God and you're connected to Him, He will tell you what to say. And that's why when Moses was there, what did he do? The Lord told him to raise his rod, you know, and strike it. From a physical sense, and your physical, you know, thinking about it, you wouldn't do that. because people are already whinging beside you. You're already confused. Your mind is confused. Everything around you is confused. And God is saying, take that move. You wouldn't. You even think it's the devil telling you. Or you think somebody is making fun of you. But as a child of God, we need to be committed, because it's when you're committed to him, you give the Holy Ghost a place to dwell in your heart, and he speaks to you. Hallelujah. Thirdly, how do you do it? Give. 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 Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Yeah, most of the time we talk about giving when it comes to, like, you know, our resources. That's it, you know. We need to do that. But it's not only about the money. It's not only about your resources. Those are very, very important. Because until you tell God, you've given this to me, it's yours, then you're not ready to do what he's asked you to do. If along the way, you're serving God, and God says, Patrick, that $1,000 you want to use to do this, give it to me. Give it to this church. You know, I'm giving that in financial. Until you're willing to submit and do that, then how can you achieve God's word? How can you achieve God's will? So you need to be selfless, basically. And so that when God says, do this, you will do that. Amen? I remember, you know, like, the first time I wanted to give when I came to this country, and you know, wow, you know, dollars is different from where I come from. And, you know, it's not the kind of money that, you know, over here, you work for every money you get. Amen. And but God was telling me, yes, that's the truth. You work for every money you get. But trust me, what I have done where you came from, I can still do that here. You know? And I remember the first time I gave, and somebody also gave me something. Like, wow, is this possible in Australia? It is possible. It is possible. Because I remember one time I gave, like, was it like $2 to somebody? And they gave it back to me. I was like, why are you giving back to me? Because they don't want to owe you. You know what I mean? But it's where I come from, you know. It's quite easy. You just give and you just walk away. You just forget about it. When you become selfless, it's an opportunity to achieve what God wants you to do. Giving your time, also very, very important. Giving your time. When you give your time, you'll be able to do that. Moses could have said, well, I've got my family. I've got my kids. You know, he's had a story of Pharaoh. So him leaving his family and everything to go and do that, it is quite hard. But what he did, and he moved on. Number four, push. Push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. As Christians, if you want to achieve what God wants you to do, or what you've planned, you need to pray. You remember when Pastor was sharing, and if you read the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed, and what happened? The enemy actually heard his prayers, and there was no answer. How many of us have prayed for things and you haven't seen results at times? Well, let's be sincere. You know, if you're very holy and you know God, yeah, that's okay. You need to tell me the trick. I'll come and meet you. It happens, like I said earlier on, you pray and you're just like, what's happening? But if Daniel at that moment gave up, after all those years, all the while he's waited, you know, he would have given up. You know, he would have, God, you know, God never fails. You know, that's the song that said, God never fails, he never gives up. It's the same thing. We need to pray until something happens. You don't just stop. You need to pray. I had something somewhere where it says there is something you cannot always see controlling what you can. I'm going to explain that to you. There is something you cannot always see controlling what you can. So you're here and you do something, you just feel it's not working. You've given your best. Things are not just working. Guess what? The enemy is at work. The enemy is at work. He's there physically to ensure that what you want to achieve, he's not going to do it. There is an enemy who does not want you to take action. The enemy doesn't want you. He just wants you to be relaxed. And, you know, because it's like a norm already, you know. Let's say you've been believing God for something, a healing or something like that. And you prayed. All the men of God in this world have laid their hands on you. And nothing has happened. Guess what? You get used to it. Some people have been used to certain illness. You know, even very small things, they get used to it because it's just part of their life. But guess what? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You need to continue. You need to pray. If it takes you 5 years, 10 years, don't stop. Once you stop, that's what the enemy wants you to do. And in your mind, you believe, well, God wants me to have this illness. God doesn't want me to have a job. God wants me to live in poverty. God wants me to live in lack, because it's a normal part of your life and you get used to it. But that's not what God wants. God wants the best for us in life. If you open your Bible to the book of Ephesians 6, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Are you there, Pastor, already? Amen. From verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy." He didn't say put it on just for one day. He said put it on. So it means it needs to be there constantly. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it's always a battle. It's constant. So you today, God will answer your prayers and he gives you what you want. The next thing, you know what the devil will say? Well, you've gotten this. I'm not going to let you go. He will come back again. You remember the story of Job, when the enemy told God that, oh, it's because, you know, you blessed him with all this and he took everything with him, you know, took everything away. Well, at the end of the day, what happened? He was consistent, and what happened? He got everything back. So we need to pray until something happens. Please don't give up, brothers. Don't. And if you're the kind of person that you feel you're not motivated to pray, and then this is where you need to join us in church and pray. You start from there. It's a process. And once you do that, you will see results. I'm not saying this because all my prayers have been answered. I'm saying this because I have seen God answer my prayers. And because I believe he's answered some, he will do that again. Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. What he's done in the past, he will definitely do it again. So please push until something happens. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. When something happens to you, when God blesses you, it's a time for you to bless the church. It's a time to bless your community. It's a time for you to bless those around you. But if you don't get blessed, you just remain the same way. Amen? Press on. Number 5, press on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just do it. And that's what that means. Just do it. When you find the athletes doing it, you know, despite all the training, they train and they get tired, their foot, you know, it's sore and everything. But what, the next day they still come back. Why? Because they have a goal. They have a goal. There's the scripture that talks about the race set before us. So when you look at it, just like the race set before you, they know, well, if I do that, I'll get a gold. And not just getting a gold, what comes with it? You know? They become rich. That's why you find so many of them, like, you know, you find Nike sponsoring many of these people. If they tell you how much they sponsor them on, you'll be like, wow, just because they didn't give up. You and I can do the same thing. We might not be able to run like them. We might not be able to jump like them. We might not be able to shoot like them. But God, there is something you can do. And you need to press on. Don't give up. While you're pressing on and you're not giving up, what else? You need to be expectant. You need to be expectant. Because the Bible says the thoughts he has towards you are what? Of good. So when the Bible is saying, well, the thoughts I have towards you are of good, to give you a future and expected end, he has said it. But if you just say, well, oh, God has said it, I'm just going to relax. No, you need to be expectant. As a Christian, you need to be expectant. You're saying, well, I have prayed about this, I receive it. Father, I just thank you for my blessing this morning. Father, I thank you for a new job. I've been believing you for this job, I receive it. You wake up in the morning, you do that, it's not happening. The next day you do that, you keep on saying it. God hears you. Just keep on saying it. Father, I am blessed. I am blessed and highly favored. You know, I tell God every time. When Pastor was talking about speed the last time, I always tell myself, God, do it speedily. I say it daily. And when I say it, the next day, has it happened? No. But I still wake up. I say, Father, I receive it. It is mine. It's my portion. It is my portion. I receive my house. I receive my increase. I receive my blessings. My child is blessed. You know, I keep on saying it because I believe it. Oh, I thank you because, oh, God, you've changed my situation around. You are turning my situation around. I just keep on saying it. And what happens? Say it. You hear you. And this is where you find those people who talk about positive thinking. Most of the things they do, they pick it from the Bible. They just tell you, say it 10 times a day. You can say it 10 times a day. Without faith, nothing's going to happen. Seriously. But with us as Christians, with the backing of the world, with the backing of the Holy Ghost, as you're doing it, the Holy Ghost is saying, well, I better bless this guy. This guy is not giving up. He's been doing this for the past 2 years. You know what? I'm just going to bless him. And that's what he did to Daniel. He just opened the door and sent another angel. And the world, they destroyed the enemy because he was expectant. Hallelujah, somebody. Let it go. Let it go. You need to let it go. All your burdens, all the issues you feel, it's just there that's been holding you back. You just need to let it go. Bible says, cast your burdens upon him, for he cares. You know, if you can get that in Psalm 55, verse 22. For the expectant, Jeremiah 29, 11. Let it go. Let your burdens go. Just relax. Relax. It's not easy, but let it go. Because his word, he wants to take it for you. Number eight, be rooted in him. Colossians 2, 6 to 8. You need to be rooted in Christ. You need to be rooted in him. You need to understand Christ. You need to understand his word. Because you can't pray and expect something to happen if you don't know his words. Because the way God communicates is you communicate God through his words. You remember, you remind him of his promises. Lord, this is what you've said. You remind him. But if you're not rooted and you say, God, just help me. Help me. God, it doesn't mean God wouldn't listen to you. But when you remind God of his promises, you are putting God to a stand and say, well, this is what you said. You have to do it. You need to remind him of his promise. Like, how many of you, when your kid says, you know, for kids to say, Dad, you promised me this. Oh, my God. I can't promise my daughter anything. I'm in trouble. She will remind me until I just give up. I'll just give in. Sorry. And I take him. It's the same thing with Christ. Because the dad has promised her, so she expects dad has to fulfill it. It's the same thing with us. Amen? While you're expectant, like Bookie said, during your harvest time, don't just relax. You need to work. You need to work. So just start doing it. If you're believing God for a business, start with your business plan. Write it out. You know? Put things in place. Look for things that are right. If you're believing God for your healing and it's not been there, write it on your mirror and put it there. And every morning you look at it and say, God, thank you for your healing. You know? Just do something. Do something. You have to work for your harvest. When the harvest comes in, you don't just say, well, I'm just going to leave the maize there and the corns there and they die. No, you have to do what? Step out and go and start, you know, plucking the fruits. Start doing them. So even when you've done the whole work, you still need to continue doing the work. You just need to keep on doing it. Amen. Bible said, the Israelites you see today, you will see no more. God doesn't want you to hold on those things that has been holding you down for a while, for a long time. He has said, those Israelites you see, the Egyptians you see, you see them no more. The Egyptians then represent things that are not right for you. The Egyptians represent your illness, sickness. Egyptians represent poverty. Egyptians represent your laziness. Egyptians represent you not believing God. Egyptians represent anything negative in your life. And God is saying, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. You need to take a step. Amen, somebody. And taking a step means you need to do something. Hallelujah. Do what you haven't done before. Take a step, and God will bless you. Once you do all this, just do them. That's all you just need to do. Just do them. And Bible talks about weeping may endure for a while. But what happens? Joy comes in the morning. That is the benefit of just doing it. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen.